Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends. It's good to see you, and we're glad you tuned in tonight to your show, Raising Expectations. A great time in life to have expectations raised as we look all around in our world, in our nation, in our families. God's always working something, and it's always going to be for your benefit as you look to Him. We thank Him for you. We don't take for granted that you tune in. We don't take for granted for the wonderful texts and things that you share with us. We're grateful that God is working in your life, and we're grateful that prayerfully, week by week, we have a little bitty something for each one of you that will encourage and strengthen, draw you closer to Him, and in doing so, to your families, to your friends, to your neighbors, people around you, because they'll see you as a source of encouragement and a source of light each and every day. We're excited about what God's doing. You know, each of us are born again believers, bought by the blood of Christ at Calvary. And we believe in God, that means, of course, and we believe God is who He says He is. And we believe that God does what He says He will do. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Somebody had to pay for our sins. And when He reached and died on that cross and spilled His rich red royal blood, it not only paid for our sins, but it drew us close to Him. He walks with us every day. And I like to say so often, people ask me sometimes, you know, we're looking for answers in life. All the answers are there. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of life. The answer is there. Jesus Christ is with us every day, all of the way from now through all eternity. He loves you more than you can love. I want to leave you with this thought. Remember, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less and nothing you can do to make Him love you more. Because God loves you in a godly way because He's God, beyond what we can believe. So moving right along as we think about that, we hope we're going to get some encouraging things tonight. We've got a great show for you. You remember, we had Terry with us last week, and she's back this week to share some more things on forgiveness. And as she said earlier, whatever the Lord brings up as we begin to discuss, great things can come. And we'd love to hear from you. Text us, put your text in there, and tell us what you're thinking and where we go with this. But we want to tell you about the team real quick. You all know most of our team. They're the greatest folks you could ever meet. They're across the nation. We span the nation. And we actually have the blessing of getting hold and having people watch us really in many places in the world. And we praise God for that. But all the way back on the west coast of California, we have with us Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Paul Hall, there he is in Lompoc, California. That's Polk as in cowboy, P-O-K-E, in case you wonder.
That's right.
Just north of Santa Barbara. And that, where, how hot was it there today, Paul, in the heat?
Right now it's 63 degrees.
63. What?
It was a burn. It was a real burn. Yeah.
63. Hang on, folks. All of you in the Midwest, we're going to have a word of prayer for you.
Anyway,
Different, isn't it? That's a lot different. It's good to see you, brother. Paul is a pastor. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a godly man. He's been my friend. He's blessed my life for over 55 years. That's really difficult because both of us are 39. But in any event, he's been doing it a long time, and it's really been fun and a blessing, and he's more than a brother to me. Love this man. So Paul and I are going to join hearts, and we're going to move all the way to the east side of America, to the south part of the East Coast in the south, which is right there in Dalton, Georgia. And that's something you want to look up sometime. Dalton is famous for a lot of things. We think it's famous because The Thayers are there. That's a great bumper sticker. The Thayers are there, and you'll find them there in Dalton, Georgia. And I'm going to ask us if TJ, the most wonderful engineer in the world, would just turn up for us, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, because with Stephanie and with her husband, Doctor, we call him Doc right there, we're going to get something very special tonight. We're going to look on our website very quickly and see. You can read about these people. Somebody said to me, I'd like to know more. Well, there's some written about them right there on the website. So you want to look that up. On there, you will find Stephanie on the website with her webpage, Live Your Life Out Loud. And there it is, and you'll want to look that up. Live Your Life Out Loud. Stephanie is an incredible lady, a mother, godly woman, leads women in their walk with Christ. Read about what she's doing. Read about the people that she helps each and every day. And she's just at a conference this weekend. Many great things I know have happened. And find out about what she puts up every day. Make sure you're her friend on Facebook and other platforms so that you can follow what she shares, because what she shares comes from the Lord. She's always looking to him, and God is always speaking through her in so many wonderful ways. So Stephanie's also knows the area of health and welfare and how to take care of yourself health-wise, and that's a very important thing. So Stephanie is right there on the left. Check in with her, find out how to live your life out loud. There she is, and on her left, which is our right, you'll find the man that she did such a good job on, and that's her husband, and that's Tank that we call. He is a surgeon, Dr. Craig, actually, but we call him Tank. He is a surgeon, a special surgeon, a trauma surgeon, and you name it. We have questions. We always ask him, and he knows the answers. He walks with God. He's blessed by God. His testimony, you'll find, as a surgeon, he uses on the mission field. He's been in Africa. They've been in the Caribbean together, helping people everywhere. He's one of those special people. Once again, when there's a need, there he is. And when he can help, he always does. Very, very special man of God and our brother in Christ. He has a book out, his first book called Saved, S-A-V-E-D, and it's on our website. You want to get a copy of that book? Here it is. One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles in His Life Saved. And I love it. Finding God in the Ordinary. I say it every week because it's so true. I live in the ordinary. Maybe you do too. I think all of us in one way or another. We live in the ordinary, where God does some of his best work when we look to him. So remember, as you get that book right there, he's got some special things to share for you from the surgeon. Maybe medically, yes, some, but maybe spiritually, an awful lot, and maybe personally, right where you live. You want to get a copy of Saved. That's a great book. So we've got the Thayers right there on the east, south part of the East Coast, which is the south there in Dalton, Georgia. And if you just, I'll never get that straight yet. Ron, I've got a mental block on that one, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So if you come back to the west, go west, young man, as Greeley said, and get by Alabama and Mississippi and head over the north side of Louisiana, hit East Texas. You'll come to the metropolis of Dallas, Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and just on the north side of Dallas is the great city of McKinney. And right there, you'll find one of our favorite pastors in all of Texas, and that would be Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron is right there, and Ron is with Man in the Mirror right now. That's right. And Ron has his special intelligence glasses on tonight. He really looks good. So you want to drop cards in and tell him that he really looks good. Dad, look at that. I mean, what are you going to do with that? That's worth the drink.
I'm going to take a picture of that one.
Yeah.
We love Ron. Ron is our brother in Christ. He's a great counselor. He's done many, many things, everything in his life. He's always turned to Jesus. Read about him on the website there, area director there with Man in the Mirror. He's there in McKinney. Read about what he does. Read about how he served the Lord all these years, about his family and the things that he does with his life. So you'll want to get a hold and get to know Ron also. He's right there in the Metroplex, Dallas, Fort Worth, and McKinney, the north east side of Dallas, right there. So this is a group of people right here that have blessed my life. I'm Pastor Joe. You know me. They bless my life incredibly. I thank God for them each and every day. And I think it's a pleasure to get to pray for them every day. So you pray for them too, and they'll pray with you. And then just watch what God can do. That sounds like a song, Paul. That's not bad,
work.
right?
It works.
That'll work. That'll work. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have with us, as you know, Terry Warner, and we're going to put up some information there for you. Terry comes from the Dallas area also, and I think it's Mesquite in that area, South Dallas, somewhere right in that area. And she has written an incredible book, Trainwreck to Triumph. And this book that she's written, there's Terry, and this book that she has written truly talks and meets people at deepest points in their needs. In fact, there is one group that has said some tremendous things about her, a personal testimony that she wrote where this lady opened her heart. I was touched by what the lady said about how God has spoke to her through Terry and about the realness, about the understanding, about the caring, about those godly things that we pray for in our lives, that we can get all of us out of the way and God can get in the way and change a life as they look to him. It's great to have Terry with us. You can find some of the things right there. Train wreck. We've all had train wrecks. The transition. How do I get out of this? What's the transformation? God's got answers. And the triumph comes when he takes full control. So it's pretty exciting to see. There's a copy of the book. There's the trainwrecktotriumph.com. You want to go to that website and jot that down so you've got it. And that is the book. And you come out of that tunnel into the brightness of all that God has planned for you. So once again, it's a privilege to all be together tonight. Let's welcome Terry with the round of applause, which is famous all over the world, that we give to all our people as they come on. Terry, welcome to
Raise Your
Expectations. It's great to have you with us this evening.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here as always. As always, I'm feeling like right at home. I love it.
That's right.
I'm having good times. I'm just hoping I'm not repeating myself, but hey, that comes with the territory, you know, layers upon healing, layers upon hearing.
Amen. There you go. Tell us a little about forgiveness and then lead out where you want and we'll just have a great time together with the Lord. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, first, I would like to just share a little something. A lot of times on interviews and calls and sharing, sometimes we have a tendency to leave something very powerful for the end, because we want to leave people with this strong call to action, this strong nugget for them to consider. But I felt very strongly in my spirit that maybe we would do it reverse. I wanted to give a nugget here, right here. So if someone is watching at the very beginning and they need help, they're looking for something different. They're looking for something. They don't, maybe they can't even pay attention or really intentionally listen to what we're saying at the beginning because their heart is needing something different. So I wanted to just share one question I ask at usually the beginning of every call or every talk I'm giving. And then I'd like to mention a couple scriptures that have really made a difference for me, especially in the last 6 weeks and et cetera. So anyway, we'll go into some things. One is, here's the question. Whoever, you know, you're watching and you really want something from God tonight, you know, that intention. You are coming to this call, this interview, the video with really something heavy on your heart. I want to ask you this question. If anything is possible, anything at all, and we know with God it is, anything is possible, what is the one thing you would choose for God to do for you tonight, to be possible for you tonight? What is that one thing? If anything is possible, what is that one thing that would be the thing that would turn things for you, that would make a difference for you? And so if you're watching and you have a piece of paper and pencil, kind of write that down, a pen. I want to share a couple scriptures. I went through, you know, I talked, I think a couple times ago that we talked, a very devastating situation that caused a lot of uncertainty. And God first took me to Psalms 46:10, that is, be still and know that I am God. Knowing God is God was not hard for me. Being the still part was tough. You know, because I'm like, hey, I'll just let you know what's happening. I know you're busy with all those people that they need, you know, I'll just go and do this. Okay. I was born. My dad, mom used to joke I was born 40 years old, and I would joke back, well, God knew someone had to be an adult so I was just born the adult. So that tendency to take over, that tendency to just go do it, just go do it. Okay, so being still, I really, God just said, for this season in your life, I want you to just do a couple things. You've prayed, you've asked, you believe, I'm present. I want you to do just a couple things. And I literally just contributed time to doing those things. Not that I wanted to, and not that I felt to. Sometimes we think as human beings, for some reason, we've gotten this understanding, which is a misnomer actually, that we think, we feel, we do. That's actually not the way it's intended. We're to think, do, and then we'll feel. If we wait until we feel something and we are in our emotions, the root word of emotion is motion. That's going to be flexible. We can't always trust that. And so, doing what you know to do, what you're here to do, you may not feel it. I don't, I know Stephanie is this amazing health coach and exercise and all this. That's not my story. It takes me 2 to 3 weeks to get out first thing in the morning and go walk. I don't want to. I don't like it. I don't like anybody else walking. I don't like anybody out there. I'm thinking, y'all are crazy. I don't want to be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing it either. Until I do the first 20 minutes, and then 21st minute, my body, I'm pushing my body, and then my body starts pushing me. Is that normal? Am I a normal person?
I think you are quite normal. I will tell you, I don't always want to work out, but I love what it does and how it
It
makes
does,
me
yeah.
fully present. And I laughed when you said, you just go do the thing, because that's my nature too. And that's
Just do it.
really not necessarily what the Lord is calling us to do.
Yeah, exactly. Nike may have made $1 billion off it, but actually, it's not for us. And so I chose, he said, I want you just to do a few things because I am an overachiever. I don't start one company, I start five. That's just who I am. Everything I do, I drink with a fire hydrant. I don't, they say drink water in little sips. I could drink this water literally in 6 seconds. And just because I got it done, okay, it's done. So anyway, I chose to be still. I chose obedience. And then the next week, he showed me the scripture, see if I can read it here, 48, which is, we all know, Psalms 48:1 is great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we stopped then. I think I may have mentioned it last week. The other night, I was in another, just a lot going on, a lot going on. We all have a lot going on, right? We all have a lot of stuff happening, and it's not always in our control. It's not always something we would choose to be intentional about. So I started just listening, reading the word, great is the Lord. And you let that set. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And I just sat with that. And the other night during a time of just like, Lord, I need a break. I need a touch. All I said was, great is the Lord out loud. And the presence of the Lord just permeated my space of where I was. And so we're talking tonight about forgiveness. And sometimes in those times of difficulty, sometimes we don't even have, the strength and the wherewithal and the to do all the do's, and we've got the list and we know the sermons and all the stuff. And sometimes we just need to reach out and say, Lord, your name is great. And just saying that I can feel just an anointing. Lord, you're great. And you get to a place in life sometimes where you don't know, you may not know anything else. I mean, I went to a school of theology. I was born into a preacher's family. I've did interior design for churches for a living. I listened to preachers. I've listened to sermons. I've been involved in worship environments, wanting to create a space for worship. And at the end of the day, it comes down to not that all that is important, and I'm blessed with all of it. But sometimes at the end of a day, it comes down to, all I know, like Paul said, all I know is him and him crucified. Oh, that I may know him. The word know in the scripture means to be intimately engaged, to be intimately connected, to know all that there is for me to know. And so we're talking about tonight how forgiveness impacts your vision. So the scripture the Lord gave me, and I apologize if any of this is repetitious, but in Psalms 124:1, well, I want to share this one thing. Yeah, one thing, 124:1, the Lord showed me the scripture, and if it had not been for the Lord, then it says, if it had not been for the Lord, the next verse. And then it says, if it had not been for the Lord. I think there's a rhythm here. Clearly, if it had not been for the Lord, sometimes God just repeats and goes, you got to get it, if it had not been for the Lord. And then there was another scripture about vision and dreams is vision is a dream with a plan. So I want to talk about forgiveness and vision. How do you accelerate to vision, to live in vision? How do you accelerate? How does your forgiveness accelerate you to vision? Because we're halfway through the year. We're halfway to 2026, more than halfway. And I felt an urgency to talk about forgiveness and that. And so the 126:1 talks about after the time of captivity had turned again, wasn't the first time, I guess, it was turned again. You guys have been captive, and here we go again. Returned again your captivity. We were as them who dream. And the Lord showed me in scripture 2 years ago, said, you stopped dreaming. You kept working, but you stopped dreaming. And so connecting with vision and moving forward in our vision has very much to do with forgiveness. With forgiveness. So I want to, in my book, I talk about a question of change. It's all about the questions. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the courage of the questions you ask leads you to success. The courage of the questions you ask. And sometimes we, as believers and leaders and just people in our family, sometimes we have people in our lives that have not asked themselves, they've not had the courage to ask the question of themselves. And the most important person we'll ever ask questions of, other than the Lord, is ourselves. We come in alone, we leave alone. And we are responsible for ourselves. And I think that's something in our culture we may have gotten away from. So I just want to ask you this one question, and then I want to open it up. A question of change is this. It's a group session I do that is, what person, place, or thing, what is the person, place, or thing around which you received less and called it enough? What is the person, place, or thing around which you received less and called it enough? We used to hear in motivational and inspirational and all, all of you are in all that, oh, they're just choosing less and calling it more. You ever hear that? They're just choosing less and calling it more. And I used to say that, and the Lord, while I was prayer walking one day, said, because I'm an overachiever, I do both at the same time. Very effective, very efficient. Let's just do it all together. And it does work because the more you're walking, the more the physical energy is happening. It's really interesting how that fuels your prayers. It's really interesting how that works together. It's really interesting. So I'm walking, I'm thinking, oh, this man is just choosing less and calling it more. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're the only person in this conversation doing that. I don't know. The Holy Spirit speak to you like in your own vernacular. And I was like, oh, he said, yes, people in survival do not choose more. They choose enough. They choose enough. And somebody may be watching this and realizing that their life has gotten to the place where the lid has come so far down. Through unforgiveness, through maybe disconnecting from their relationship with God, maybe disconnecting with others and themselves, but somehow they've come to a place where enough is okay. And I don't see anywhere in scripture where God called us to enough. So anyway, that's a question I ask, and then there's a process, and then we write down what has happened because of that choice, and are we forgiving that us of that choice, ourselves of the choice? Are we forgiving what took place because of that? And are we committing it to Christ to move forward? And it's a time of forgiveness, and it's very interesting. I did it with 90 doctors in the room of all different ages, and it was such a breakthrough for them to realize in their own life. And so I just wanted to bring those couple things forward, and then we can talk more about forgiveness and vision. We cannot walk forward to the vision God has for us, pulling the past, because that becomes our filter, pulling the past. If we're dealing in areas of unforgiveness, we will have distraction, disempowerment, discouragement, and disappointment. Because we're our own sabotage. Does that make sense? And I'm gonna open up. I don't want to deal with talking. I just want to open it up and see
What do
what
you
you
think,
guys think.
Ron? I see the wheels turning. You got a thought on that, Ron? You work with guys like
Me?
that. Yeah. All the way in McKinney.
No, one thing did hit me though. It's the idea of questioning ourselves. I what comes to mind is 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, "Examine yourselves, test your, right?" It's like he mentions. He talks about examine ourselves, question ourselves, test the things that we're doing or learning. He mentioned in Corinthians and Ephesians, he mentions a number of times. Now that's just in Paul's writings. And we go back to Leviticus, you go back to Old Testament, there's a constant theme throughout. Old man, test yourself or ask yourself or examine yourself to make sure. All right? And you test those things that are happening. Okay. I'm questioning, like you said, right? Is this enough? And do I settle here? Or do I question, okay, where does God want me? And then I test the things that are around me, my circumstances, the things that happen in my life. Okay, am I testing those to what? Okay, I'm comparing to what God says that I am, what he has for me, who he is. And I say, does that add up? Like, no. So I don't settle there then. Because it tells me if I examine, I'm testing. There's more God has for me, so I agree wholeheartedly. Funny you bring that. Not funny you bring it up, but the other issue is I told you we work with inmates in prison, preparing them to leave the prison. Well, one of the things that we did, the key thing was you ask these questions, right? You question yourself, now, first of all, about where you are, what your sense and values and place you are. If it's what God has for you, then fine. Be exact satisfied with it. If you determine that it's not what God has for you, then the next question is, where does God want to take me? And then you start evaluating what God's done, what he's given you, what he's placed potential in you, and then see, okay, then you move on from there. So I agree wholeheartedly. Excellent.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm glad you
I'll end it
agree.
there.
I love it when people agree with me. That's just kind of a thing, you
You
know?
go. What do you think, Tank?
Well, I went through an amazing experience of forgiveness with probably 50 men. We'd gone through similar to watching The Passion of the Christ. And then we wrote what we wanted to have forgiven on a piece of paper and then nail it to a wooden cross.
Oh,
And
wow.
I put myself, because I mean, how many people. I've heard people say you need to forgive yourself before you can forgive other people.
Amen.
And if you don't, then you live in shame, right? So, like you said, you're carrying this backpack or you're dragging something behind. It was your example of, the weight you don't need to carry.
Totally,
Yeah.
totally.
I'd be
That's
interested to know what the
exactly.
doc said to you.
You
You probably
know
gave
what?
it.
That was funny. I was the what do they call it? The CE training for some doctors. I was the emotional intelligence part, and they got credit. So people actually had to sit in the room. I felt very powerful. People had to be in the room to get the credit. And so I had people that were there, doctors from, most of them were men, from the age of, just out of med school to 80. Some of them put their hands in their pockets and said, "I'm not going to do this." And I said, "Okay, you can feel free to leave the room, but you can't stay and not participate, because this is a action sport, this is fully participation." So they were fine. I walked through it, and we would have them write down, what was the situation? What did it cause? What did that choice create? It's not always the choice to be forgiven. It's what the verifiable action was afterwards. What was the outcome? Oh, I expected less from life. It can be relationships. It can be their whole life. And then we would write down, and then we would, when they had, we wrote it down, we were willing to release it. We wrote it down, and then we put our hands over it, held it in our hands, and we asked for forgiveness. We asked for forgiveness for the choice. We forgave the outcome, and we were willing to move forward. And then we threw it up in the air, and we prayed. And the interesting thing, you ask what happened. Many of those men went to the man who ran this entire group, and they told him, they pulled him aside, and I was like, "Oh wow, I'm in trouble, Like, okay, this may be my last gig here." And they told him, they said, "If for no other reason I came to this meeting for 4 days in Vegas, it was for that." And how it changed their life, because they had to really look at their life and review trajectory and choose where they were going from that place. And they cried. Some of them cried. Some of them did. I find it is amazing when people stop, and even if they're forced to evaluate, if they really, it starts with a question. And that's what's so, the thing I want to get across here that's so powerful is asking an open-ended question just creates, you can ask three questions. What is the one thing you would choose to experience in your life? When that takes place, what difference will it make? If I knew of something that has created that difference for others, what is your willingness to know more? I think we should change our entire MO on witnessing, and on, even some conversations around conversion, because the brain hears the familiar word and we say the same cliches. And so sometimes when the brain hears something familiar, it's a brain tag. To revert that or invert that conversation will create an entirely different outcome. So I believe we could do that in witnessing. I used to go door to door witnessing in Phoenix for 4 months, which I'll probably not ever do again in my life, but I was young and kind of foolish, but it was interesting. But we said the same thing at the door, and there wasn't a follow-up. And I'm not saying it wasn't valuable, but I'm saying, do we know? And so saying things inverted in a way that engages with the brain differently creates such amazing outcomes. And the calling, are we fulfilling the calling at the highest level? I believe if we're not really bringing this into, and of course I'm a marketplace minister, but into the marketplace, we're missing a frontier. The gospel is getting to every corner in the world. But candidly, it's not necessarily permeating even believers in their business. We're called to birth destiny in the marketplace.
I mean, it sounds like you've really got those physicians to surrender it to higher power, whether it's Jesus or whatever
They
you're
did. And I was very clear. They had the choice of who they surrendered to, but I was very clear. When I say, spiritual laws, I'm not talking about your grandmother was a tree. I'm not talking about that
No.
thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about faith-based Jesus principles in the marketplace. And really, I didn't know we would kind of go here, but really, I'll tell you another experience real quick that may be something that may be valuable to y'all is, and whoever's watching is, I had a secular meeting, predominantly like probably 70% men, 30% women. I only say this because there is a misnomer that only women do certain things, respond certain ways. And guys, we've kind of taken you off the hook, and we've kind of really diminished the fact in our own judgments. It's not how the men are, the women have judged it sometimes, you know. And men in church respond differently than women in church. I don't really buy into that. I believe God is God, and what God wants to do, God will do. And I don't put it into a gender category. And you know, but maybe it's just my basic nature. I don't know. So I had this group of about 75, 80 business people. Dennis, I don't know if you know Dr. Dennis Whately, who just passed away. You may know him from California. I worked with him a little bit. Dr. Dennis Whately, we had Hall of Fame inductee I worked with. We had different people speaking, motivational people. And I got up and God said, "This is not business as usual," said to me. So I stood up in between my times and I said, I did my little talk, okay? And I said, "I want you to ask God who you're called to. Who in this room are you called to? Because calling changes commitment. You all are very obviously called to this, called to each other. I imagine that when one of you call the other, that phone call is taken, that email is, you know, responded to, because there's a calling, not just to love, there's a calling, a mutual calling, right?
Yes.
So I just ask him, who are you called to in this room? I want you to pray. Who are you called to? And I ask him, I want you to stand up and I want you to go to the person you're called to. And I want you to stand by that person. And in standing there, you're saying, I'm responsible. I will take your call. I will be there for you. You call me, I'm going to be there. There, that commitment was there. And I still, this was 15 years ago, and I still have people say to me, that was the most powerful day in my business because I reached into a place that wasn't how-tos, how-to-dos, it was how-to-be. And so, you know, in this realm, asking people questions, we don't have to know all the, we're not here to know the answers. And that's hard for us.
Yeah.
So what, yeah, I don't know. Paul, what are you thinking?
I think about forgiveness. What was I'm having a brain dysfunction here. What was the name of the coach started this movement and all these men they met in big stadiums and things. So what was that called?
Promise keepers.
Promise keepers, yes.
Promise keepers. Okay. I was thinking about we came back from when I was pastoring in San Juan Capistrano, our men came back from a Promise Keepers thing, and significant things had happened. And the men gave up and that evening got up in church and gave their testimonies. And one man said, "I just want to let you ladies know that I promise that I'm going to be different from now on, and and great things have happened." And one of the women stood up and she said, "I've been waiting 40 years in this church to hear a man stand up and say that." Forgiveness is,
That was an amazing organization.
it was, yeah, and still has far-reaching effects. I guess the thing, when you talk to people, not only do you need to be ready to deliver what God has given you, they need to be ready to receive what they're receiving. So I think it's really difficult sometimes when we talk about forgiveness. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of discipline. You have to be really intentional. I applaud Ron to have the discipline to keep asking those questions every day, because sometimes I ask those questions once a week. So talking about that and the importance of that and the lasting effects of that, what can you speak to in terms of lasting effects without giving four easy steps to lasting effects? No, does that make sense?
Yes,
Okay,
it
because
does.
I think people there are people out there listening and say, "Well, that sounds really great, and I'm glad you made it, but somehow or other it's not connecting with me." So What can you suggest to somebody that wrestles in those areas?
You know, I think it's a layer by layer thing. I think in my book, you'll see it several times throughout the book because it happens in layers. The same thing that we needed to talk about in page 10, we need to talk about again in page 60, because the Lord brings these things up and things are triggered. And so, actually, I even, it's interesting you would ask that, maybe this paragraph talks about we cannot forgive others unless we've forgiven ourselves, because we're going to take that with us. But the other part of it is forgiveness pre-paving, forgiving forward, more or less, is to get to such a place in forgiveness that we've pre-paved the area of potential future pain, of potential future issues, disempowerment, you know, disappointment. Disappointment's going to happen. So what do we do to pre-pave that road in our mind? Because the mind is really, like, we know where the battlefield is, you know, like we heard. The mind has to be paved and smoothed out with the propensity, the natural proclivity to forgive, to make a decision and a choice that my go-to is forgiveness, release, forgiveness, release. Have I arrived at that? No, I have not. I'll be the first to tell you, I have not. It is a work in, I'm a work in progress. So that's one thing, is to make the intention that I'm going to, we're hardwired to live in love. I'm going to choose the better road. I may not be right. They may be a scumbag. Okay. I watch too many detective movies. But at any rate, to do that. And the other thing is to, I really truly, truly believe that prayer journaling solidifies the growth. And so one thing I say to people along this line of questioning, to do that's really powerful, is to journal as part of their devotions. Prayer journal, write a letter to God. Purge everything that's going on in your life in that letter. That prepares you to be able to build new. What do you do when there's a demolition? You remove all the debris. That's the purging. Then you share, and God will start sharing with you, and you start writing and writing and writing, and then truth starts coming in, solidifying that. But in that journaling process, and that's a whole nother call, is journaling process is writing God a letter. There's something about writing a letter to God. And I've been told men don't do it, and they do. I've been told women don't do it, and they do. I've been told people that don't write, and they do. It, because it's addictive. If there's anything I will tell you I'm addicted to, it's prayer journaling. And so writing a letter to God and saying this, "Search me, O Lord. What do you see in me that gives you joy? What do you see in me that gives you pain? Well, how does God see us?" And that scripture in Psalms, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Okay. And I know, Joe, you've sung the song. I've sung the song. Everybody sang the song. But asking God and being open, where do I fail you? And where do I bring you joy? And I asked God, it's actually interesting you'd ask this. I asked God a couple weeks ago, I was writing, and I just asked, do you see joy in me? Do you truly see, what do you see in me? And it sounds maybe like a simple thing, but all I know, for me, all I know is my spirit became so broken, but it wasn't like a pain. It was like I felt God's love, you know? And I think being humble and asking, what do you see in me? And making a habit of the word and making a habit of prayer journaling will keep you on the path. And it will remind you. It will remind you. And I really believe in that. I really believe that's part of those things to do and to ask, you know, how am I fulfilling my calling? You know?
What do you
I
see?
appreciate early on when Joe, when you said God can't love you more and he can't love you any less. Marvelous thing. My son's a wonderful guitarist. He was playing in this place on Sunset Boulevard one time, and I was sitting there, and he was just having a great time with his guitar. And this guy turned to me and he said, "Is that your son up there?" And I said, "Do you like him?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "He's my son." And you know, I am so overwhelmed that God never looks at us and ask in response, "Well, do you like him?" You know, God, we're his children, you know, and we're broken and busted, and we're trying to work. I appreciate what you said, and I hope our listeners heard it about it comes in layers. You know, Ron didn't get where he got just waking up one day and say, I'm going to do this. You know, it's a process. I don't want to speak for Ron, but it is a process, and it is for all of us. So take heart, you know, be patient, it does. It does, yes.
And it's a strengthening those processes, you know, being from the building industry and all that. You know, we used to always say people always wanted to buy a solid oak table. That would be so strong. We want that solid oak table. Actually, not realizing that putting the cross veneers in actually is a stronger table. It's not oak, but it's a stronger table. And I really believe that in healing, sometimes the healing in layers, cross laying those cross, actually creates such an undergirding.
Right.
And that word undergirding has been in my spirit so much in the last even year, is there's an undergirding of healing that takes place that the spirit brings to us and God makes happen in our life. And I don't always think, I just want to say this one last thing. I don't always think people have to be ready and willing, because sometimes the questions we ask creates a readiness they were not aware of. So sometimes that's what happens. It causes the brain to go find the answer to questions they haven't thought of. And so sometimes we get them ready with the questions.
Amen. I like what you said in the beginning, all of you. The part that hits me is that, are you satisfied? Who are you? What are you doing? And then you talked about someone to come and stand by you when you really shook them up, Jerry. You know, it just thrills me to realize that I'm called in life. All of us, our main call is to be more like Christ Jesus. And you know what? When we do, like Paul was saying, we get on our knees and we're honest with God, he comes and stands by me. And he says, I'm right here. But we got to do like you said, right? We need to be honest and we need to be open. And we need to say, Lord, this hurts. This feels good. That's great. I'm horrible here. Lord, I'm bleeding out here. He says, I've got you. Puts the finger in the hole and says, not as bad as the holes I had. You're going to be okay.
And he brings that whatever we need at the moment. And sometimes it's the simple thing.
Yes.
Sometimes we look for the hard thing that, you know, we, like you said, we need four steps to do this. And because that pleases our doingness, but not our beingness.
Yeah, but you got to be willing, like you said, willing in humility to come to him. And, you know, we need to be thankful for the things he allows us to accomplish, but at the same time, be humbled enough to realize, like you're saying, is this it, Lord? Is this all? Or is there something you're calling me or us to beyond this? What's next? And then you just got to be willing to listen. Maybe he's not going to give you the answer just yet, but boy, when he gives you the answer, is that not something, when you know that answer comes from him? Terry, we so appreciate you, what you
thank
said
you tonight. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
It's just great having you with us, and we know you've been through it, and your book is outstanding. And I just look at these people right here, and I know some of their lives, and they know me, and it's just incredible to see what God has done. And I'd have stood up when Paul's son was
honor.
And I said, whoopee. I would have said it was great, because your son, Sean, is one great guy. You know, his son playing the guitar, both of them together, we should get them going. But we got just a couple of minutes in looking at this, and Terry, know that you've really touched us and spoken to us. God has used you again, and we really
Thank
truly
you.
appreciate you and Dave both. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
And
Yes, we appreciate you guys.
it's great to have you with us. And you know, folks, as you're listening, I just a quick word. We love being with you, and we go to God with us all the time, and God always blesses and meets the need. But maybe Steph could share just a quick word with you to let you know how maybe you could be led of the Lord possibly to jump in with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to stay in touch, know what's going on with the show, you can go to the website, which is bbsradio.com forward slash raising expectations. Don't worry if you do it the wrong way, it won't work. So that's how I figure it out. And you can see here's the landing page. You see we're highlighting today, Terry, but you can listen live. You can also listen to recordings, which are a little bit farther down. Thank you. You can see all of the past shows. We have amazing guests. The Lord has just blessed this ministry, really has. There you can see highlights of all of the co-hosts. And if you want to connect with us directly, you can. And at the top, we have ways that you can make a financial donation. Sorry, I'm making you go everywhere, TJ. And we really appreciate that. There is a cost to be able to produce this. And our heart is not to make money. Our heart is to reach many, many people. And so just know that when you do make a donation, that it is honored and it is going back into getting more people to be able to listen to this. You can also share just a show that reached you or that you thought would bless someone else. This forgiveness topic is something that affects everyone. It holds us back and it's something that we struggle with, and we don't need to because the Lord already loves us and it's about grace and mercy. It's not about works. So thanks for plugging in with us, and that's kind of your one-stop shop.
There you, that's a good phrase. What way to go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all on that page. And Terry, we pray that God will meet you at the deepest points of your needs and bless you and Dave and all that you're doing in ministry. And we'll see you
Thank
again
you.
soon. And
Thank you. I
everybody in
hope
this
so.
room, praying for all of you. Thank you, Terry. And we pray for all
Thank
of you, those of you that are listening. We pray that draw close to the Lord and watch. He's already drawn nigh to you, and he's already got plans for your lives. And one step at a time. I had a great old pastor say to me once, it's one day at a time. His name was Dr. Paul Hall. So I will tell you the same thing, one day at a time, but stay close to the Savior. God bless you. God keep you throughout this week. May you feel his presence in a way that you never realized. Even as Terry said, as this week starts, you couldn't have guessed what he's going to be sharing with you and doing in your life in the days ahead. We want to thank you.
Amen.
We want to thank TJ, our engineer. We're so thankful for him and all that he does for us too. Thanks, TJ. All right, God bless you and keep you.
Thank
We'll be
you.
back same time, same
Bless you
season,
all.
Lord willing. And the creek don't rise. That's famous Texas vernacular just for you, right, Ron? Okay. We'll look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. Thanks so
Thank
much.
you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bless you
Great.
guys. Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.